Proverbs. If you don't have a copy, there should be one or two on the back table back there if you'd like to get a copy and follow along with us. We're starting today on page 30, lesson number 5. Interesting little lesson from the standpoint, very, very detailed lesson, and if you had an opportunity during the week to kind of work your way through the scriptures, you know there's a lot of information here and a lot of work on it. You know, one of the nice things about this, I think several of us have talked about it from time to time, using the book gives us the opportunity to kind of work our way through some lessons in the Bible during the week. It's a nice little format for us to go through and brings us some thoughts during the week. So I find it kind of nice to go in there and work every day on a couple of pages, and it kind of gives you a good chance to stop and take a look and reflect. The God who loves also hates. One of those things I've kind of been amazed at in my life is the world out here is talking about God is love, and God is love, 1 John 4:7. God is just the epitome of love. Everything we talk about, like when we were talking on, was it Wednesday night, on 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, you start looking at the attributes of love. I mean, every one of them fit God right to the perfect. Just God is, he's a perfect example of every one of those things that involve love. So God is love, but people seem to forget, and even though a lot of the religious world recognizes the truth of the flood, and they believe the flood occurred, they believe that Christ died on the cross. Somehow they forget that God, who loved the world, also closed that door to the ark, did he not? And let all those other people drown. There's a God that, and maybe you can relate to some of that. Have you ever dealt with somebody to some point where you said, okay, enough's enough. I've drawn a line. I'm not going to cross that bridge again. I won't do that again. We can get to that point in our life, but God who loves, one of his attributes, though, is also Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 29. Our God is what? A consuming fire. While the scriptures talk about his goodness, he can be severe. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. And them which fell, severity. For those who fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. God hates several things, and let's talk about some of these things. He gives us a scripture here, Proverbs 6, chapter, verses 16 through 19. If you have a chance, you want to look at that. Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19. He lists 7 specific things that God hates. And the first one is what? A proud look. Now let's kind of get into proud look and pride and things a little bit. Here a few days ago, Margaret Smith called me. And she's wanting to talk to me about a granddaughter. Kenzie had been nominated to the homecoming court at Hickson. And Margaret wanted to show me a picture of Kenzie. Kenzie's also received an offer, at least one now, and maybe expecting more, scholarship to play soccer. She's a great soccer player. She's very talented. And she also makes outstanding grades. Margaret was proud of her, wasn't she? Is that the kind of pride that we're talking about here? No, it's not. It's a different kind of pride. Now, Margaret, maybe she might have taken that a little bit too far. I admit, though, that Kinsey, you know, is Kinsey's attribute. She is a beautiful young lady, very smart, very talented. But Margaret was trying to imply that Kinsey was sort of a chip off the old block. And I was trying to determine just what other attributes Kinsey had that Margaret might have added to the gene pool. But that's another matter. A proud look. What God hates a proud look. He doesn't hate pride in things that we do. If we've been a Christian all our life and we've been faithful, can we not be proud of that fact? Yes, we can. Paul was proud of that fact, was he not? I have fought a good fight, he said. I have kept the faith. He was not, but God hates a proud look. What are some synonyms of a proud look? Arrogant, one. Pardon? Conceited. Howdy. Any more? Somebody else come up with another one. Pardon? Egotistical, what did you say, Tom?
I didn't say anything.
Oh. High hat, okay. High hat, yes, sure. Right, thinking pretty high of themselves. Big-headed, superior, self-important. I like that one, conceited. Tom, you got decided you had something to say after all? Tom was singing at Mussolini in the 1930s, standing before an Italian audience, made just a proud look. You know, that's interesting. There's a balance point. I'm not sure, but have you ever worked for somebody who had a proud look? What were some of the things that they did? What were some of the things you had to watch out for? Pardon?
Somebody telling on you?
Well,
some that are self-centered, that you can't get a conversation with them to talk about anything but themselves.
That's true. If they're self-centered, sometimes they won't talk about anything except themselves or their ideas, that type of thing. I had the opportunity in my life to work for a lot of nuclear Navy people. Since I worked in the nuclear business, Admiral Rickover did a great job of building our nuclear Navy. He did a fantastic job. He really hired and put smart people in place. If you were a boat captain out there on a submarine, you were no dummy. You were super sharp. You were sharp in a lot of areas, not just one or two things. But I ended up working for some of these guys. And every idea they had was the idea. They didn't want to listen to alternative things. Now, Rickover was different from that, but a lot of these guys, they've been told, you're the best, you're the best, you're the best. We only pick the best. And they come out of the Navy and think, well, I'm the best. My ideas are the best. You need to listen to what I want to do. And that's the kind of pride that I think God is talking about here. It's haughty, it's snooty, it's puffed up, it's conceited. I like that definition of conceit a little bit. It's a word. It's talking about a disease that makes everyone else feel bad except the person that's got it. That's a pretty good definition of conceit. Makes everybody else feel bad except the one who has it. But both of these, we're talking about an exaggerated opinion of himself. It's one of those things God would hate about us, would it not? If we have an exaggerated opinion about ourselves, well, I'm saved, and I don't know about you. I'm on my way to heaven. If we don't watch our attitude, sometimes we can fall into this ourselves. But what did Christ want us to do? But humble ourselves, did he not? And be like children. Requirement of the Lord, he's always stipulated for his people to be humble. A proud look from a proud heart. God hates that proud look from a proud heart. Some things to avoid. Psalms 101, verse 5. Talks about he that hath a what? A high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. Proverbs 16:5. Everyone that is proud in heart or arrogant is in what? An abomination to the Lord. Wow, we don't want to be there. Proverbs 21:4. And a high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. And the plowing of the wicked, that's the effort, the business of the wicked. That's their work, that's the things they're doing. Proverbs 28:25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. On down through that lesson there, a little bit long, that same verse there, 25. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. He will have plenty, God is saying. He that trusteth in his own heart is what? A fool, God says, if we trust in our own heart. But also walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. He who walketh wisely shall be delivered. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Isaiah 13:11 has another example of what God looks at here about the proud. Toward the end of that verse, it says, I will cause the arrogance of the proud to what? To cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. You know, we've looked at this before in a lot of, I think we've maybe even seen this in companies out here in the world. We've captured the market now. We've got it. We can control these things. And how many times when that happens do other people come along trying their best and many times achieving and breaking down that system, tearing down that where that company maybe has a controlling interest there. All of a sudden the whole world brings them down, has a tendency to do that. Jeremiah 50. Verses 31 through 32. Behold, I am against thee, God said, O thou most proud. And then later on in that verse there, and the most proud shall stumble and what? Fall. A warning to all of us, that we, if we have a proud look, we may very well stumble and fall. Even James in the New Testament, James the 4th chapter and verse 6, tells us what? God does what to the proud? He resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. And we've talked about grace here on Wednesday night for a couple of weeks and how God's grace is better than we deserve and better than any place where pride. Let me ask you this question. Is there any place in the Bible where God said pride is a good thing? Remember, we're talking about this haughty attitude, this arrogance. Is there any place where God says that's a good spot? Just think about that. If you come up with an idea or a suggestion, let me know about that next week. I appreciate it. Second item on this list in Proverbs, God hates a lying tongue. Do you like lying tongues? Why do we not like a lying tongue? What is it about at work? Let's say that something at work, somebody comes in and they are presenting a bold-faced lie and you know it. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about that person? Pardon? You can't trust them. You can't put any confidence in them. I don't care what they do, right? That's right. He'll tell a lie there to your face. He'll tell a lie somewhere else if it promotes what he wants to promote, that type of thing. So a person that lies is a very, we see this in our everyday life. We don't like it at all from that standpoint. So why would we be part of it? Who is the source of lies? The devil. The Bible tells us he's the father of all lies. He speaketh the lie. And look at things, and again, I look at even the example with Satan, with Eve in the garden. It was just a little lie, wasn't it? All he added was one word. Not, that's right, Gail. He only added one little word. How about when people come to you with a half-truth? You know, that's just, I get so irritated at that, especially at this time of the year with political ads and stuff. It's just half the information. And even we were looking at the other day an ad that had a picture of some people. The implication was that all this person was doing, this political person, all they were doing was sitting on the beach with a margarita in their hand. That was the way they were spending their time. That was the implication. I remember a movie, Happy Feet. Went to see Happy Feet. Took one of some of the grandkids to see the little cartoon Happy Feet one time. And all the penguins were, the fish had gone away, and the penguins couldn't figure out why the fish had gone away. And finally they swam through some area where the oil companies had dumped some tanks and pumps and things like that on the ocean floor. Oh, now we know why the fish are gone. The implication was, nothing was ever said about an oil company or anything, but the implication that the producer of the film was that oil companies are bad. They're running the fish away. That's the problem. Didn't say a word, just the implication that was kind of a half-lie type thing. And yet, you know, whether we like oil companies or not, you know, how many of us use their product today? We did. We use it every day to get where we're going, what we're doing, in plastics and everything else. And yet there are people who want to tell a half-truth. They don't want to tell the whole thing about so many different things. I'll have to get off my soapbox here. Making a lie what now? Oh, making a lie, yeah. That's right. People have a tendency to want to make lies to support their own cause. But those who slander and lie, in Proverbs 10:18, God calls them what? A fool. God calls them a fool. What is said about lying lips in Proverbs 12:22? Lying lips are what? An abomination to the Lord. But continue in that verse, if you have a chance to look it up, if you look on down there, but what? A contrast, but what? But they that deal truly are his delight. Look at the contrast. Lying lips are an abomination to God, but they who deal truly are his delight. Proverbs 14:5. Give a characteristic of the fault of a faithful witness. A faithful witness what? Will not lie. No matter the circumstances, it's going to tell the truth. A faithful witness. 1 John 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, to contrast again, look at the next verse. But if we walk in the light, not in the darkness, but if we walk in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is what? A liar. And the truth is not in him. And again, the contrast, just after that, again, that contrast. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Wow. That's the advantage that we as Christians have when we tell the truth, when we are a faithful witness, when we do what's right. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. We can see that also. Look at the lies that Ananias and Sapphira tried to tell. You know, we've gone over this in several other classes. You know, the land was theirs that they sold. That wasn't the problem, was it? They wanted somebody to pat them on the back. They had a proud look about them. They wanted to get the accolades of people who said, oh, you gave all this much money. This is wonderful. That's what they tried to lie to the Holy Spirit. Satan filled their heart, Peter said. Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Genesis 3, 1 and 2, we also talked about that, where Eve knew that she wasn't supposed to eat of the forbidden fruit. She even added the word, neither shall ye touch it. She knew she wasn't even supposed to touch it. I don't know whether God commanded that or Eve added that to it, but she didn't want to, lest ye die. And Satan added that word. Elijah's servant, the next example he gives down here, remember when Naaman had his leprosy and he came to Elijah and Elijah told him what to do. And Naaman rejected that and ran off while there's better rivers than the Jordan and all that. But Elijah would not accept any compensation for that, would he? But his servant did. What happened to his servant? He ended up with a leprosy that Naaman had. That was a bad thing. But he could not. He participated that way in that lie. And then we had the next example, the old prophet of Baal. But we're running out of low on time, so let me roll on. Yes, sir. I guess it was Elisha, and I put down, I'm sorry, good, thank you for pointing that out. It was Elisha and his servant, not Elijah. Thank you. Elijah and Elisha, yes, sir, John.
Back up there a little bit, I think about Adam and Eve, what God told them not to eat of the forbidden tree. One thing that impressed me about it, he didn't come up back and talk to them and say, well, I'm going to let it go this time. But be sure, don't eat that tree again. That just shows to me how severe he is and how direct he is. And when he says something, that's it.
Good point. God didn't say, well, we'll let it pass this time, but the next time we'll do something about it. No, he didn't. They crossed that line right there that one time, that one commandment, and that was it. Good point. God had drawn a line there in the sand, and they did not follow it. Colossians, the third chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. The commandments to the saints that Paul gives there. But now ye also put off all of these. Look at he talks about anger and wrath and malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then he says what? Lie not to one another. Seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man. We don't need to be lying to one another about things either. And that concern is always there as well. And we've already talked about it. We do not like for people to lie to us. We do not trust those people. We do not trust them from then on. How many of you have dealt with a contractor or something like this at home or at work where they didn't follow through on what they said they would do. How'd you feel about it, Dave? Had you done that? Got one now? Oh, got another contractor. That's right. I think every one of us who's probably been here the next time. Not only that, if there's a contractor that has done me wrong or lied to me, what am I going to do? I'm going to tell John, don't you dare use him. Tom, don't you dare use him. George, don't you, Willard, don't you even think about this guy. And that's one of those things that's important for us to realize. When we lie and people don't trust us, that information goes everywhere. Christians should speak the kind of words that Paul spoke in Acts 26:25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. God hates, page 33, God hates hands that shed innocent blood. He gives several examples. First example he talks about there is King Herod. King Herod hears about Christ being born. Wise men come to him, and what do they say? They say, where is he? We would like to worship him and explain who he is. And King Herod hears this, and what does he say? Ooh. Yeah. You go find out where he's at and come tell me, because I would like to worship him too. Patricia? Intentional effort to what?
To deceive.
Yes. Again, we look at it from hindsight, especially we know Herod didn't have any intention of going to worship him, did he? Herod was wanting to protect what he had. He thought this person may be raised to come in and take over his kingdom. He's going to take care of that. And what did he do as a result of it? He killed all. No, wait a minute. He killed all the children, boys and girls, up to age 2. Can you imagine living in that kind of a time with that kind of a leader in your community? That it's willing to go out and have... look at what happened when Moses was a baby. Same sort of thing. These people were at that point where they were going to protect what they had. Didn't matter whether they lied or whether they did something, but though they shed innocent blood. Of course, we know that an angel appeared to Joseph and said, hey, you need to go to Egypt. Get out of here now. And he left. But ego and pride and control that Herod wanted, so that I might worship him also. Then Herod, when he realized he was mocked by the wise men, did those other things. Look at Stephen. He was also stoned because he preached the gospel. James, the brother John, was killed by the sword, probably most likely beheaded because he preached the gospel. And look at Christ, even. Suffered and died, yet he committed no sin. Neither was guile even found in his mouth. The obvious connection here to us as Christians, though, is what? In our lifetime, those who shed innocent blood. Abortion. What is it now? We've murdered something like 50 million babies since Roe v. Wade. 50 million. Oh, a lot more than that now. Just a thought. Do you reckon God's going to allow that to happen and continue? I don't. I had a secretary that she didn't work directly for me. She worked as a department secretary. Never will forget this. Walked up to her one day and said, well, I guess I'll see you tomorrow. She said, no, I've got a procedure in the morning. Oh, I'm just dumb me. I'm saying, well, what are you going to do in the morning? I didn't thought maybe she's going to get ears pierced or something, I don't know, tattoo or something, I don't know. I'm going to have an abortion. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to say. So I walked away. She was back in just a couple of days. And I kind of walked by the desk and I said, well, trying to be nice, just trying, how you feel today? And the first words out of her mouth, I never will forget it. I wonder if it was a little boy or a little girl. I thought to myself, man, shouldn't you have thought about that a few days ago? Shouldn't you have thought about that a few months ago? And yet we've got so many people in our country where, well, this is not a convenient thing for me, so we will pay a price for it. Page 34, God hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations. In other words, for imaginations, what? Ideas, thoughts. God hates the heart that devises wicked imaginations. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We know that. Even our words, they start in our brain, in our mind. Genesis 6, chapter, verse 5. Noah coming along. God did what? He saw the wickedness of men on earth, that and that every what? Imagination, every thought of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And what? Anybody got the verse open? And it grieved him, God, at his heart. Wow, I don't want to grieve God. I'd rather be as pleasing as I possibly can to God. I don't want to put anything there between me and God that he doesn't like, that he doesn't appreciate, that he doesn't trust. Those who have evil imaginations are also what? Proverbs 12:20. They're deceitful. They're deceitful. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. You know, politicians come to mind again. With this idea of when they're running for office, you know, they've got all these things they're going to do for you, you know. Then when they're elected, sometimes it's different. Doesn't that make you angry? The deceitfulness. We need somehow to get people who say, this is what I intend to do, and go after it and go do it. Maybe even if it's not something I want them to do, but at least if he or she said it and go do it, I could trust that person better than I can somebody else who's deceitful. A lot of times you see politicians running for office, and hey, they're all accessible when they're running for office. You can go meet them on the street, you can go see them in the restaurant somewhere, and go shake hands. But after they're in the office, take an act of Congress to get you in their door so you can see them. Romans 1:21-32. Paul was talking about that, but became vain in their imaginations. Talking about people. People who glorified not God, professing themselves to be wise. See that today? People who profess themselves to be wise. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, through the lust of their own, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Change the truth of God into a lie. We have people today who do that, who try to use God's words even and twist them. I attended a debate with Kyle Butt, matter of fact, in South Carolina with an atheist. Tried to attend, let me say that. didn't make it. There were so many people there in the audience that they turned people away. They had people standing, and they were way above the fire code allowances. I got a phone call before we even parked the car. Don't bother to come in because you can't get here. You can't get in the building. But I got a tape. I got a tape of that. Listen, and that the atheist used every single scripture that he used. He misquoted every single scripture. He took it out of context, or he misquoted every single time. Took the truth of God and he turned it into a lie. That's what he had to do in order to defend his position. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do that. Wow. Wait a minute. Pleasure in them. Pleasure. People have pleasure in those people that do those vile things. Look at what's going on television today. We've got moderators on shows who are known lesbians, and they're right in our face every morning, every day. And nearly every show, unless you're not, we end up watching a lot of, nearly all the time, Hallmark movies. Gloria and I miss, we always amuse, well, the movie's not over yet because he hadn't kissed the girl yet. But there's no bad language. There's no sex scenes. It's wholesome stuff nearly all the way through. But you look at nearly every other movie right now has got two guys or two girls promoting homosexuality, kissing one another in our face. Even Wheel of Fortune, not too long ago, we were watching one night, and here's this guy and his husband. I thought, man, have we stooped so low, we just... Solomon gave us a solution, page 35, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't lean on ourselves. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. Now, if we want to do things that pleases God, there's one. And the Bible is full of examples of how we please God. There's one of them that God hates. Feet that are swift to run to mischief. We're about to run out of time. We might need to stop right here. But Solomon gave us that solution. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy steps. Let's put a pause in it right there. Thank you very much for your help this morning. We will see you next week.